Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is Monday, September 30th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, guys, I had an incredible trip. I was, as you may know, in Miami, covering the game from the press box. I got some locker room interviews that I will include throughout this clip. It was an overall great experience. Again, a huge thank you to the Miami Dolphins organization for even allowing me to be there. It's just such an amazing experience, and the fact that they allow fan sites to have this opportunity says a lot about the organization that is the Miami Dolphins. So, guys, I have to warn you right now, as I record this, I am exhausted. I drove up to Austin, slept on my brother's floor, flew out to Miami, didn't get to the hotel till 2 a.m, and then that same morning, woke up for the Dolphins game, and then my next flight right after that was at 7 a.m, so it's just been really hectic. I just drove back from Austin right now to the Rio Grande Valley, down by the border, so if I do end up calling the Los Angeles Chargers, the San Diego Chargers a few times, that is the reason why, so cut me a little slack, because it's more than likely going to happen at least once. So in this game between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Miami Dolphins, powered by South Florida Ford, the Chargers won this game by a score of 30-10. And this game followed a very similar script to the last 2 weeks. And if you heard before, one of the things I was wanting to see is if the Dolphins could sustain 4 quarters of very good football. Because in the last 2 games, what they showed was 2 quarters, a first half that was very promising, but ended up falling apart and unraveling in the second half. And this game did indeed end up following that script. So before I dive into this game, I want to discuss the Miami Dolphins organization just a little bit, because while the Dolphins team may not have a W in the win column, there are plenty of ways that the Dolphins are winning off the field. And a lot of this comes from an organizational standpoint that is really led by the communication staff, and in large part due to Jason Jenkins, who is a senior vice president of communication and community affairs over there. And this guy has really set a new standard that puts the Dolphins towards the top, if not the top team in the entire league, when it comes to community involvement and things of that nature. So Jason Jenkins has been a person of huge impact in the whole South Florida area. And I'm not saying that just because he's from Texas, but that is a nice little fun fact to have. So when it comes to these community involvement involving the communication staff, this is really evident in the Dolphins Football Unites program. And in this game in particular, before I headed out to the game, I was able to cover their Football Unites community tailgate. Now, you may have heard this before, and that is because they have this before each and every home game in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. And it involves different programs that they bring in, try to get people involved. It mostly deals with getting children to interact with people they may not have met before. So this Football Unites community tailgate program invites diverse community programs to attend these Dolphin home games and unite them through fellowship and group activities. In this game in particular, the groups that were there were the Islamic Center, the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Miami, Aqua Foundation, and the YWCA. So while I was there, it was a lot of that. There was just a bunch of kids there. They were interacting with former alumni there. OJ McDuffie was there. If you guys know OJ McDuffie, the guy is just hilarious to be around. He was signing kids' shirts. Troy Drayton was also there. And then Jason Jenkins had a moment to speak to the kids and kind of give them a taste of what this whole program is about. And here's what he had to say.
Well, one of the things that's very important to our owner, Stephen Ross, is very important to our players, that we look at work in the community and all the intersections that make up South Florida. I mean, it's such a diverse area, as you know, and we really want to really unite people of different races, gender, sexual orientation, identities, and use football as a way to bring them together.
Now, as we dive into the game, this was really a story of two different halves, because if you look at the final outcome, you would predict that it was a dominating performance by the Chargers all around, but that's not really the case. This was actually a case where the Dolphins were in it in the first half. They actually had their first lead of the season when Josh Rosen hooked up with Devontae Parker kicker for a big 34-yard touchdown. On this play in particular, Josh Rosen just had plenty of time to throw the ball. He had beautiful protection, something that is really foreign to us as Dolphin fans, but it really showed that Brian Flores was able to adapt and find a way to make it work against, one, a very strong Chargers defensive line, but two, a really kind of makeshift offensive line. But whether it was getting the tight end involved to help block with Joey Bosa, they were really helping contain this pressure, at least in the first half, and give Josh Rosen some very valuable time to throw, and that was very impressive to see. So Josh Rosen ended up finishing the game 17 for 24. He had 180 yards passing, one touchdown, and one interception. Now, I must say, his touchdown was nice, but his interception was very bad. It was equally as bad. It was just a lazy play. That was something I tweeted. He televised exactly where he was going, and then even then, he underthrew the pass, so it was just a very bad play all around. But like I said, this was really a tale of two halves, because in the first half, Josh Rosen was looking phenomenal. He was 12 of 16, 159 yards, and then he had that touchdown. So 159 yards at the half, and he would end up finishing with 180. So that really shows you what happened in the second half. Now, when it comes to the running game for the Miami Dolphins, we look at Kenyon Drake and we look at Kalen Ballage and I guess a little bit of Mark Walton in this game. Now, Kalen Ballage, it seems like the Dolphins are finally straying away from this dream of Kalen Ballage being some first down back and some workhorse back. It really hasn't panned out. Even in this game, he had a very, very bad drop and he just cannot make guys miss. If the hole is there, he can hit it. And that's something I've said since day one. With a functional offensive line, I'm sure Kalen Ballage can be a very good running back. But right now, the situation that Miami has, it just has a porous offensive line that causes pressure to be there behind the line of scrimmage. Kenyon Drake has this ability to make guys miss that not a lot of people have, and it's something that he can do almost on every single play. He was doing that in this game. He looked absolutely terrific in my eyes. Kenyon Drake, 9 carries for 44 yards, and he also had 29 yards receiving as well. And like I said, every rush it seemed like in this game was just something that he had to work for. There were these really grindy plays. He was making guys miss on almost every single play. Each one could have been stopped at the line of scrimmage, but he turned it into something, and that's something that you really have to like about Kenyon Drake. Now, we head to the receivers, and like I said, it looked like it was going to be a very big game from Devontae Parker in that first half, because in the first half, he had 4 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. Well, guess what he finished the game with? 4 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. There was just nothing happening in the second half for the Miami Dolphins. A lot of it was due to the time of possession. The Chargers really dragging these drives out for just extremely long periods of time. But Devontae Parker had a very good first half. Now, Preston Williams was another guy who was fairly productive. He had a very nice leaping catch where he managed to keep his feet in bounds. He finished the game with 4 catches for 46 yards. Now, another thing with Preston Williams, and it hurts me to say this, but it sounds like it's going to be a weekly thing with him, is that he had another very bad drop. And it really seems like this is not just a coincidence anymore. This may be a trait of his. It's definitely something that he needs to work on. I'm hoping it's not something that's becoming a mental issue with him, something that's in the back of his mind, because he is just a tremendous athlete. He can make these amazing catches. But when it comes to these routine ones, there's just something that happens with him that causes him to drop these balls. Now, before we get into the defensive side of the ball, the Dolphins honored some of their former legends during halftime. It was part of the alumni weekend presented by Baptist Health. So there was just every Dolphin player, it seems like, that you can imagine. Dan Marino was there. Don Shula was there. There was just a bunch of guys here. Mark Duper as well. I was able to meet him. Just a great guy. There was just a ton of alumni during this alumni weekend for the Miami Dolphins. And a lot of these guys are still located in Miami. It really shows how these guys are rooted in the area. They had very successful careers here and they turned it into a life and they decided to stay here. And I don't know how many other franchises have a player base that stayed so much in this local area as the Miami Dolphins. So again, that was part of Alumni Weekend, again, presented by Baptist Health. Now, as we move to the defensive side of the ball, like the rest of the game, the first half looked really promising for the Miami Dolphins. And I want to begin by applauding Xavien Howard as well as the secondary. Now, I will say Eric Rowe is still a huge liability. He had some very big mistakes in this one. But as a whole, the secondary, who is missing Bobby McCain, Minkah Fitzpatrick just got traded, Jamal Wiltz was also inactive, yet they were able to put up a very strong performance against these Los Angeles Chargers receivers. And that begins with shutting down Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen came into this game as the leading receiver in the NFL. He finished his outing with 5 catches for 48 yards. Now, some of that, and a lot of that actually, is attributed to Xavien Howard just playing tremendous shadow defense. I was really happy to see that the Dolphins were more accepting to the idea of putting their best cornerback on the best receiver the majority of the time, regardless of where he was lined up. But then there were a lot of times where I don't know if it was because of Xavien Howard or if it was because the Chargers were missing so many of their receivers. They were missing Mike Williams. They were missing Travis Benjamin. But they were really trying to feed Keenan Allen. There were just a ton of plays, the majority of plays. They were motioning him, trying to get him off Xavien Howard. And when that happened, the Dolphins were double teaming him, it seemed like, on every chance. There were not allowing him to be in these one-on-one situations with these inexperienced cornerbacks. If it wasn't Xavien Howard, then chances are there was a second guy lurking to help stop Keenan Allen, and that was a huge part of shutting them down. So as someone who was watching that, that was a huge adjustment, because this secondary not only shut down Keenan Allen, but they were keeping a lot of these plays in front of them. In fact, a lot of what killed the Dolphins in this game was running back Austin Ekeler out of the backfield, catching a lot of these balls. But when it came to the receivers, they were really keeping these guys, preventing the big plays. And to me, that is one of those small victories I talked about that we have to look for, because at least in recent years, the Dolphins have always been vulnerable to the big threats. It seemed like whenever the Dolphins played someone who had a guy like Darius Heyward-Bey or somebody like Taylor Gabriel, guys who were capable of breaking it big over the top, like Marquise Brown, those were the guys that they would crumble under, and it would make it far too easy for the opposing team to just get these huge chunk plays. Well, that did not happen in this game. They were keeping it all underneath, and while I will say Austin Ekeler had a very successful day, especially in the second half, I will take forcing a running back to beat you in the pass game over these guys breaking it big and taking huge chunk plays after chunk plays. They really shut down the deep to intermediate routes fairly well. And again, that's with a banged up secondary. That's with a secondary that doesn't have a lot of star power. It was just a really good performance that I don't think is necessarily getting enough love. But like I said, Eric Rowe did have another weak performance. Dontrell Inman had 76 yards. He was really burning him on a bunch of plays. So Eric Rowe, to me, is getting to the point where we have to start to question, is his experience, is his familiarity with this system that valuable that he should be starting over somebody else who has a chance to prove themselves? And for me, it's starting to look like no, he is getting burned far too often. Even if he's experienced, even if he knows the game, and even if he has a handful of good plays, he is just getting burned far too often for me. I think it's time for the Dolphins to look elsewhere in that CB2 spot. Now, I discussed Austin Ekeler having a big day for the Los Angeles Chargers, and if you look at the stat line for the whole game, you would think this guy was tearing them apart for the entire duration of the game. He finished with 2 touchdowns, 62 yards receiving, and 60 yards rushing. So on paper, a very productive game from Austin Ekeler. But if you look at what the Dolphins were able to do to him in the first half, that really tells you a completely different story. Because in the first half, Austin Ekeler was held to 25 yards rushing and 3.1 yards per carry. He was really not able to get anything going. It was to the point, to me, where it looked like Melvin Gordon might need to be thrust into the game, because before the game they said that Melvin Gordon would only be used if it was an emergency situation, and it really seemed like the Chargers were struggling to get anything going. So again, if the Dolphins were able to sustain that first half kind of defense locking down Austin Ekeler, this could have been a very different outcome for this game. And one final thing that could have led to a very different outcome for this game was Jason Sanders missed 2 50-yard field goals, 250-plus yard field goals, rather. And while I will say a 50-yard kick is not a gimme anytime, these are kicks that kind of need to be made if you want your team to win. Especially the first one was really a momentum killer and really put the Chargers in great position to turn this game around and get this easy victory. So Jason Sanders missed two from 50-plus. The punter for the Chargers, since their kicker is out, Ty Long came in and made a 50-plus yard field goal himself. That was kind of injury to insult in my eyes. So before we get into my takeaways and some of these post-game interviews, there was another thing that I must discuss, and it's the Huddle for 100 volunteer of the game was recognized in this game as well. The Dolphins special team selected former alumni Ed Perry for this award in this game. And again, that was for the Dolphins Huddle for 100 program. Now, we go into my takeaways for this game. And the first takeaway was what I wanted to see in this game. And that was whether the Dolphins could sustain good play for four quarters. The answer to that was no. We saw a game that followed the exact same script as the ones before. That was a very impressive first half, one that had you even questioning if the Dolphins would steal a victory. It did not happen. The team did not make adjustments. They looked stagnant. They weren't able to get the ball out of the Chargers' hands. It was just a very poor second half outing from the Miami Dolphins. Now, my second takeaway, and it pains me to say it again, is that Preston Williams has serious issues with drops that could hinder his ability to ever become a wide receiver one. And that was the expectation that we all had. Maybe it had a little bit too much optimism in it, and it really seemed like that was possible. But until he gets these drops checked out, then that is something that is still a huge question mark for me. Now, the next takeaway is that the secondary, without this star power, was still very impressive. And whether you want to say it's done by the players, whether you want to say it was Xavien Howard, you cannot deny that it was a mix of that and Coach Brian Flores. He did a good job scheming for Keenan Allen, shutting down the best player available and keeping it out of his hands, forcing the opponent to beat you in other ways. So that was great to see. Now, the final and final takeaway from this game, and it's very similar to the secondary, one that was riddled with injuries, a bunch of guys that are outplaying their expectations, and that was the offensive line. Whether it was Brian Flores helping him out, keeping a tight end in to help them block, this was a very strong defensive line for the Chargers that were really kept in check, especially in the first half. Josh Rosen had a lot more time to throw in this game than what we've seen in the past, and Kenyon Drake was making some good runs. There were some holes at moments for him. So if this could be continued, again, that's another moment for hope. It's really showing that Brian Flores is starting to put together a very nice scheme, and it's starting to show some real promise here in Miami. Now, we go into some of my press conference interviews. I'm going to be showing some clips from what I got in this one. The first one I want to discuss is Devontae Parker. I had been wanting to ask him because he has been criticized so much throughout his career for something that he cannot control, and that is the injuries that he seems to get so frequently. And of course, football's a brutal sport. It's not necessarily that he's fragile, but just anybody could get hurt on any given play. So I asked Devontae Parker if he feels like the criticism he has gotten due to his injuries was unjust, and here is what he had to say.
Do you feel like there's been some unjust kind of criticism on you because of your injuries and stuff that's kept you off the field at all?
Yeah, I mean, people who don't play football don't know nothing about being injured or nothing. So they don't know how much our body takes when we going out there, putting our body on the line. They don't know, so I don't care what they're talking about.
Now, I was able to speak with wide receiver Preston Williams as well. I think something that we've all noticed is that him and Josh Rosen's chemistry has been on since day one. That's been his favorite target since the moment he became a Dolphin. So I had to ask him, what is it about him and Josh Rosen, and why do they have this chemistry?
It seems like day one, you and Rosen have had this chemistry. Why is that?
Rosen's a real mature, good quarterback. You know, we spend a lot of time at practice, you know, just throwing the ball, you know, just trying to get our timing down. So
now I headed over to the Los Angeles Chargers locker room, and I was able to speak with one of my favorite players. If you guys listen to this, Keenan Allen, the guy is just an absolute jokester. I was discussing with him that he has become recently one of the more popular personalities in the entire NFL. I mean, he really has. He's all over social media. He roasted Le'Veon Bell. That was a huge thing. He's gotten a ton of followers. I asked him, what has changed about you that has made people really gravitate towards your personality? And here is what he had to say.
Yeah, and it seems like you've really taken off as one of like the favorite personalities in the NFL. Mm-hmm. What changed?
Stats? Probably, I don't know. I'm the same guy. I ain't changed nothing. They watching now, I guess. Or is the other guys ain't balling too much. That might be what it is. I feel the same. Slay.
Now, I also asked him what is going through his mind in games like this, games where it becomes very obvious that the defense is putting a huge focus on you, and here's what he had to say about that.
It seems like in this game there's a big focus on you. What's kind of going through your mind when you know that you have so much pressure on you defensively?
Just try to stay available, try to keep winning my matchups, and, you know, hopefully the other guys get open.
Now, I was also able to speak with Austin Eckler in this game. Austin Eckler has been one of the most efficient running backs in the entire NFL this season. Just his yards from scrimmage in this season is just off the charts. He is just having a big game on a weekly basis, it seems like. So I asked him, what is it about this Charger system that really seems to benefit the running back position? Here is what he had to say in regards to that.
And what is it about this system that makes it so beneficial to the running back position?
You know, I think it's just, you know, how our scheme is, you know, as far as like in our quarterback, you know, with Phillip, you know, he's not the most mobile quarterback. So he's really going to look down the field. And if there's not there, he's going to check it down to us, you know. So we're always going to be, hey, you never know when you get the ball. Check downs are live every pass play. So I think that just helps us, you know, because we're getting balls that maybe that should have been thrown down the field and we're checking it down. So it helps us, you know, get in space and, you know, make people miss and, you know, help on our game.
Now, guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode. As always, I hope you enjoyed it. It was a pleasure to be your host. Please follow on Twitter at ShadySteven, at Via The Source. I do have a giveaway that is still currently going. So if you haven't retweeted that yet, go check it out. It is for a Patrick Laird rookie autograph card. I mean, I think he's one of the more promising guys in the league. So that, to me, is something that has a bunch of appeal. So go check that out. Retweet it if you haven't just yet. I will be announcing the winner in the coming week, so be ready for that. And as I started the episode with, a huge thank you to the organization, the Miami Dolphins, for having me out there in the press box. Like I said, these opportunities are just surreal. They're unmatched. Every time that I head over there is kind of a pinch me kind of moment. So while I will say that, you know, my nerves are up there, like I get really nervous while I'm there in the locker room, it's something that really has helped boost me in terms of my professionalism, I feel like, and in my ability to speak with these athletes. The amount of help that it has provided for me is just really indescribable. It truly is. So again, a huge thank you to the Miami Dolphins. Guys, it was a pleasure to be your host, though. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.